Lehrabschlussprüfungen für Kauffrau, Kaufmann. BIFO 2017. Englisch, Hörverstehen, Serie 1. Each part of this listening comprehension will be played twice. Task A. Look at the notes below. Listen to the monologues. Fill in the missing information. You now have 20 seconds to look at the tasks. Now listen. 1. A flight attendant's announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Los Angeles International Airport. Please remain seated until the aircraft has come to a complete stop and the captain has turned off the fasten your seatbelt sign. The local time is currently 12:05 a.m. That's 9:05 p.m. in Honolulu, where we started our flight. The outside temperature is 22 degrees Celsius. We will soon reach our parking position at gate 76A of Terminal 7. If you have a connecting flight, please proceed to the transfer area, which is located on the second floor. If Los Angeles is your final destination, please use the escalators taking you to the baggage claim area on the ground level. Your luggage will not be available from belt number 26, as announced in our in-flight info, but from belt number 30. We hope you have enjoyed this flight. Thank you for choosing United Airlines. We hope to welcome you on board again soon.
You are going to hear the text again in about 5 seconds.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Los Angeles International Airport. Please remain seated until the aircraft has come to a complete stop and the captain has turned off the fasten your seatbelt sign. The local time is currently 12:05 a.m. That's 9:05 p.m. in Honolulu, where we started our flight. The outside temperature is 22 degrees Celsius. We will soon reach our parking position at gate 76A of Terminal 7. If you have a connecting flight, please proceed to the transfer area, which is located on the second floor. If Los Angeles is your final destination, please use the escalators taking you to the baggage claim area on the ground level. Your luggage will not be available from belt number 26, as announced in our in-flight info, but from belt number 30. We hope you have enjoyed this flight. Thank you for choosing United Airlines. We hope to welcome you on board again soon.
Now go on to part 2. 2. A message on an answer phone.
Hello, this is Jack Jennings of Perfect Golf Accessories. I'm calling to cancel a meeting with Jim Myers, your head of purchasing. We wanted to discuss our new product line that we're going to launch in January. I've heard you were very pleased with our latest ladies' fashion line, so I'm sure you'll love our new items too. Anyway, I have to go on an urgent business trip tomorrow. Therefore, I'm afraid I can't make it to our meeting on the 12th of June. However, later next week is fine. To set a new date for our meeting, please call my secretary, Jill, on 044-543-9801, or contact me directly on my mobile phone. The number is 076-438-9905. If you would like me to bring in some extra material for our meeting, just write me a quick email. My address is jack.jennings@pgateam.ch. That's jack.jennings NGS at pgateam.ch. Thanks a lot and see you soon. Bye.
You are going to hear the text again in about 5 seconds.
Hello, this is Jack Jennings of Perfect Golf Accessories. I'm calling to cancel a meeting with Jim Myers, your head of purchasing. We wanted to discuss our new product line that we're going to launch in January. I've heard you were very pleased with our latest ladies' fashion line, so I'm sure you'll love our new items too. Anyway, I have to go on an urgent business trip tomorrow. Therefore, I'm afraid I can't make it to our meeting on the 12th of June. However, later next week is fine. To set a new date for our meeting, please call my secretary, Jill, on 044-543-9801, or contact me directly on my mobile phone. The number is 076-438-9905. If you would like me to bring in some extra material for our meeting, just write me a quick email. My address is jack.jennings@pgateam.ch. That's jack.jennings@pgateam.ch. Thanks a lot and see you soon. Bye.
This is the end of Task A. Task B will begin in about 20 seconds. Task B. You will now listen to radio journalist Chrissy Faber talking to Mohit Goyal, an Indian entrepreneur, about his latest invention. For each question, mark the best answer, A, B, or C. Tick one answer only. You now have 30 seconds to look at the task. Ready?
Welcome to this week's edition of Unusual Gadgets. My name is Chrissy Faber, and my guest today is Mohit Goyal, the founder and chief executive of Ringing Bells, an Indian company launching a new smartphone. Mohit, tell us a little bit about your invention.
Well, Chrissy, many people are very skeptical towards our new product. But it's true, our phone, the Freedom 251, is going to cost as little as 251 Indian rupees. That's just under £3 British or $4 US. We have produced the first 200,000 pieces, and they're ready to be shipped from our warehouse next Monday.
Wow, that's incredible, Mohit. Now, our listeners don't have such a phone at home, right? Could you please describe your gadget to them so they get an idea of what we're talking about?
Sure, Chrissy. Now, when you hold the Freedom 251 in your hands, it feels somewhat like Apple's iPhone 5, just with three buttons below the screen instead of one. And, surprisingly for its price, its specifications are quite impressive. It has two cameras, one on both the front and the back of the phone, and its display is 4 inches wide. We've built in an 8 GB internal storage, which can be extended to a 32 GB memory if the user needs it. The special processor can provide more processing power when necessary, but makes less use of the battery at other times. There are two models, one black, one white.
Now, that sounds just fabulous. But if I'm correct, we're still talking about a very basic smartphone, aren't we?
Yes, Chrissy, that's right. It covers only basic tasks and comes with very few applications, such as a calculator, a music player, a web browser, and an email program. The idea is to provide everybody with a smartphone, even those who could never afford to buy a big brand product. However, at our low price, we had to make compromises. In the end, our production costs must be covered as much as possible.
Okay, Mohit, that's all very nice, but as you already said, many people are still skeptical. Actually, some of them don't believe that you've produced any phones at all and think it's all a bad joke.
Well, there are always some who try to spoil other people's business. But let me assure you, our company is launching the phone next week. I know that we have little experience in this sector, as our family has been in the dry fruit business for many years, but it's the desire to be part of the digital Indian dream that drove me to the idea of a cheap handset. There's so much demand for such a product. India is the world's second largest mobile phone market, with 1 billion users. Many of them have already bought cheap smartphones, but not as cheap ones as ours.
Ah, interesting. But still, it seems to be a huge challenge to make this phone. Are you producing it here in India?
Well, in the future we would like to. The first phone we launched as sort of a test run was made in China by Adcom. We covered up the brand name with stickers. But when we showed the phone to journalists, they thought it was not what we had promised. We now import the parts from Taiwan and assemble them in Haridwar in northern India. But once the phone makes enough profit, we want to manufacture all the parts in India. The phone now costs about 1,180 Indian rupees to make, and we're financing the loss through sponsors who can pre-install apps on all our phones. Eventually, we hope, the Indian government will help us finance the cheap phone for everybody in the future.
A very brave project, Mohit, I must say. I hope your phone will make a difference for many people, and I wish you and your family all the best for the future of your business.
You are going to hear the text again in about 10 seconds.
Welcome to this week's edition of Unusual Gadgets. My name is Chrissy Faber, and my guest today is Mohit Goel, the founder and chief executive of Ringing Bells, an Indian company launching a new smartphone. Mohit, tell us a little bit about your invention.
Well, Chrissy, many people are very skeptical towards our new product. But it's true, our phone, the Freedom 251, is going to cost as little as 251 Indian rupees. That's just under £3 or $4. We have produced the first 200,000 pieces, and they're ready to be shipped from our warehouse next Monday.
Wow, that's incredible, Mohit. Now, our listeners don't have such a phone at home, right? Could you please describe your gadget to them so they get an idea of what we're talking about?
Sure, Chrissy. Now, when you hold the Freedom 251 in your hands, it feels somewhat like Apple's iPhone 5, just with three buttons below the screen instead of one. And, surprisingly for its price, its specifications are quite impressive. It has two cameras, one on both the front and the back of the phone, and its display is 4 inches wide. We've built in an 8 GB internal storage, which can be extended to a 32 GB memory if the user needs it. The special processor can provide more processing power when necessary, but makes less use of the battery at other times. There are two models, one black, one white.
Now, that sounds just fabulous. But if I'm correct, we're still talking about a very basic smartphone, aren't we?
Yes, Chrissy, that's right. It covers only basic tasks and comes with very few applications, such as a calculator, a music player, a web browser, and an email program. The idea is to provide everybody with a smartphone, even those who could never afford to buy a big brand product. However, at our low price, we had to make compromises. In the end, our production costs must be covered as much as possible.
Okay, Mohit, that's all very nice, but as you already said, many people are still skeptical. Actually, some of them don't believe that you've produced any phones at all and think it's all a bad joke.
Well, there are always some who try to spoil other people's business. But let me assure you, our company is launching the phone next week. I know that we have little experience in this sector, as our family has been in the dry fruit business for many years, but it's the desire to be part of the digital Indian dream that drove me to the idea of a cheap handset. There's so much demand for such a product. India is the world's second largest mobile phone market, with 1 billion users. Many of them have already bought cheap smartphones, but not as cheap ones as ours.
Ah, interesting. But still, it seems to be a huge challenge to make this phone. Are you producing it here in India?
Well, in the future we would like to. The first phone we launched as sort of a test run was made in China by Adcom. We covered up the brand name with stickers. But when we showed the phone to journalists, they thought it was not what we had promised. We now import the parts from Taiwan and assemble them in Haridwar in northern India. But once the phone makes enough profit, we want to manufacture all the parts in India. The phone now costs about 1,180 Indian rupees to make, and we're financing the loss through sponsors who can pre-install apps on all our phones. Eventually, we hope, the Indian government will help us finance the cheap phone for everybody in the future.
A very brave project, Mohit, I must say. I hope your phone will make a difference for many people, and I wish you and your family all the best for the future of your business.
This is the end of Task B. Task C will begin in about 20 seconds. Task C. Listen to radio journalist Charles Fleming talking to Andrea Vjostad, a food expert, about the role of lunch in our working life. Please fill in the gaps in the sentences below with the correct form of the keyword or keywords. Use one or two words. You now have 1 minute to read the sentences below. And here we go.
Good morning and welcome to Food, Glorious Food. My name is Charles Fleming, and today I'm talking to Norwegian food writer and television host Andrea Vjostad. Andrea, welcome to our show.
Thanks, Charles. It's a pleasure to be here.
Andrea, they say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day and that dinner is the meal to really enjoy good food. But what about lunch, the midday meal we often grab on the fly?
Well, Charles, in the old days, when people worked on farms, everyone got up early to milk the cows and begin the day's work. Then they returned to the farmhouse at midday to gather for a big meal, some talking and perhaps a nap before returning to the fields, fully fueled for an afternoon of hard labor.
Oh, yes, the good old days. But what about the more recent past, let's say the second half of the 20th century?
As society became more urban, the tradition known as the martini lunch developed, where colleagues would come together in a restaurant for a long meal accompanied by a lot of drinks to make deals, network, and impress the boss.
Oh, how things have changed. According to research from Uppsala University in Sweden, we are now more likely to grab a quick snack or eat on the run than sit down with family or friends for a traditional meal. Is that right, Andrea?
Yes, it is indeed, Charles. The New York Times reports that these days, roughly 62% of professionals eat lunch at their desk. Workers grab a sandwich, a salad, or a quick takeaway that they eat while continuing to work.
Oh my, when did that trend start?
Not so very long ago. The culture changed almost overnight, in 1997. It suddenly became politically incorrect to drink alcohol and smoke, and that was really felt in the workplace. People used to take the entire afternoon off for long lunches, but today everyone is working harder in order to keep up. They need to get back to work and fight for their job.
But is that the right way? Are desk diners really more efficient?
Good question. While many say desktop dining allows them to catch up on work or address unanswered emails, it's more likely that people are looking at Facebook or the latest viral cat video.
So in this case, eating in your office isn't likely to increase productivity at all, right? Are there any other side effects?
Sure. Some of them are in fact positive. Studies have shown that people generally eat more food when eating with a group. So if you want to lose weight, eating on your own will help you. But on the other hand, one definition of the word family is those who eat together. And researchers have found clearly positive connections between work performance and eating as a team or family.
Wouldn't it be great to reintroduce a healthier and more sociable lunch culture?
Yes, it sure would be nice, Charles. In fact, things are starting to change again. People realize that lunch is a time to de-stress at midday, and working straight through isn't actually the most efficient thing. They are relearning the value of taking time to relax and enjoy food and company at lunch.
So there is actually hope for good old lunch. Thanks, Andrea. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
You are going to hear the text again in about 10 seconds.
Good morning and welcome to Food, Glorious Food. My name is Charles Fleming, and today I'm talking to Norwegian food writer and television host, Andrea Vistad. Andrea, welcome to our show.
Thanks, Charles. It's a pleasure to be here.
Andrea, they say that breakfast is the most important meal of the day and that dinner is the meal to really enjoy good food. But what about lunch? The midday meal we often grab on the fly.
Well, Charles, in the old days, when people worked on farms, everyone got up early to milk the cows and begin the day's work. Then they returned to the farmhouse at midday to gather for a big meal, some talking and perhaps a nap before returning to the fields, fully fueled for an afternoon of hard labor.
Oh, yes, the good old days. But what about the more recent past, let's say the second half of the 20th century?
As society became more urban, the tradition known as the martini lunch developed, where colleagues would come together in a restaurant for a long meal accompanied by a lot of drinks to make deals, network, and impress the boss.
Oh, how things have changed. According to research from Uppsala University in Sweden, we are now more likely to grab a quick snack or eat on the run than sit down with family or friends for a traditional meal. Is that right, Andrea?
Yes, it is indeed, Charles. The New York Times reports that these days, roughly 62% of professionals eat lunch at their desk. Workers grab a sandwich, a salad, or a quick takeaway that they eat while continuing to work.
Oh my, when did that trend start?
Not so very long ago. The culture changed almost overnight, in 1997. It suddenly became politically incorrect to drink alcohol and smoke, and that was really felt in the workplace. People used to take the entire afternoon off for long lunches, but today everyone is working harder in order to keep up. They need to get back to work and fight for their job.
But is that the right way? Are desk diners really more efficient?
Good question. While many say desktop dining allows them to catch up on work or address unanswered emails, it's more likely that people are looking at Facebook or the latest viral cat video.
So in this case, eating in your office isn't likely to increase productivity at all, right? Are there any other side effects?
Sure. Some of them are in fact positive. Studies have shown that people generally eat more food when eating with a group. So if you want to lose weight, eating on your own will help you. But on the other hand, one definition of the word family is those who eat together. And researchers have found clearly positive connections between work performance and eating as a team or family.
Wouldn't it be great to reintroduce a healthier and more sociable lunch culture?
Yes, it sure would be nice, Charles. In fact, things are starting to change again. People realize that lunch is a time to de-stress at midday, and working straight through isn't actually the most efficient thing. They are relearning the value of taking time to relax and enjoy food and company at lunch.
So there is actually hope for good old lunch. Thanks, Andrea. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
This is the end of Task C. You now have time to complete your answers. This is the end of your English listening comprehension exam. Please stop writing and hand in your paper.